أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وهل أتاك نبأ الخصم إذ تسوروا المحراب إذ دخلوا على داود ففزع منهم قالوا لا تخف خصمان بغى بعضنا على بعض فاحكم بيننا بالحق ولا تشطط واهدنا إلى سواء الصراط. صدق الله العظيم. In these ayat, an incident that happened in the Mubarak life of Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned regarding this incident. Further down in the ayat, it is mentioned that Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam realized that we had tested him, and therefore he then fell in prostration and made sajda and turned to us and made istighfar. So now, what was the test in this incident that Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam then fell into sajda and asked Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness? So one explanation that the Mufassirin have given is that Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, he had this tartib and system in his home that there would never be a moment where there was nobody involved in some ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. So the entire day and night was divided between the different people of the household. And at some time or the other, there was always at least one person engaged in some ibadat, in salah, in dhikr, in whatever the ibadat that the person was engaged in. But this was a continuous tartib in his home. So one day in sort of, he expressed this to Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, in the home of Dawood, alayhi salatu wasalam, there's always somebody in your remembrance and always somebody in your worship. So Allah Ta'ala said that this is by my tawfiq. And perhaps someday I'll leave you to yourself. So any case, some time passed, and then one day this incident happened. This incident, what was this incident? So Allah Ta'ala says, "Wal ataka naba'ul khasm." Did the news about the litigants, the two people who were in dispute, come to you? Those who brought a case for judgment. Did the news about these people come to you? This manner of expression in the Quran Sharif comes repeatedly. This is in order to draw the full attention of the person that what is to come is to be understood fully. So Allah Ta'ala says that did this come? What incident? Is tasawwarul mihrab. When they climbed the door, the walls of the sanctuary of the mihrab, means the private space of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. So they climbed the walls and they came in. Now as it is to start off with, this is a completely wrong way of getting into anybody's place. Now Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam had his time now set for ibadat, and this was his time that he would not entertain anything else. He also had somebody taking care of guarding the place, so to say, that nobody should now come in this time, because this time was reserved for his ibadat. And this was the time that he was the person busy in the household. So everybody else was now either taking care of their needs or resting. And at that particular time, suddenly out of the blue, these two people jumped over the wall and came. So how did this happen? How they got past the security measures that were in place, and then this audacity to come and jump over the wall and come into somebody's private space? And then on top of that, when they come, so as soon as this happened first, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam got naturally a bit apprehensive. Is dakhalu ala Dawood fafazi'a minhum. When they suddenly just came into his space, so he became a little apprehensive, a little afraid. This fear is like the fear that any human being will have of those things that cause fear. a person suddenly is confronted by some aspect of fear, an animal is suddenly now coming towards him, or somebody is coming towards him with some weapon. So now it's human nature. He'll suddenly feel a bit afraid. That is a fear which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam also experienced, like human beings. Like other human beings feel hunger, thirst, physical pain, illness, etc. And in that illness, the person feels maybe a fever, maybe feels a headache. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back, and this was towards the last days of his Mubarak life, just when the time, the final illness commenced. So when he came home, so Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was experiencing a headache. So she complained about the headache, complained in the said, mentioned it, that wa ra'asa, I have the severe headache. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and said, bal wa ra'asa, you talking about your headache, I'm experiencing an even more severe headache. This was actually the start of when the final illness commenced. Point is that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam also experienced all this. Likewise is this kind of natural fear. But there's a different, another fear. This fear is called khawf. And this is what has been mentioned in these words, فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ, that khawf came, so therefore they also said, لَا تَخَفْ, قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ, don't fear us, we haven't come to harm you in any way, we have come with a case we want you to resolve. There's another fear which is termed as khashiyat. That is the kind of fear that it's termed as fear. It's actually the awe that a person feels from someone who he regards as greater, superior, somebody of higher position and status. So insan feel overawed sometimes with other insan because of their position, their might, or whatever other superiority in some way they have. This kind of khashiyat the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had for nobody but Allah Ta'ala. So that was never for any makhluk. That khashiyat and awe was only for Allah Ta'ala. But this kind of fear, which is part of natural human nature, then that is something they experience as well. So this is not to be understood as that this is against the station and the high position and the loftier position of Nubuwwat, that he felt afraid. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was told to throw the staff onto the ground and it changed into a serpent, now for the first time he's witnessing this. So as soon as he saw this, he turned to run away from it. But Allah Ta'ala then gave him the command that there is nothing to fear, you go and pick it up again. But that fear was part of the normal, natural human emotion. So in any case, Dawud alayhi salam first became apprehensive as well. Then they said, no, nothing to fear about. And then said, khasmani bagha ba'duna ala ba'd. We are two people who are in dispute, and one has committed some excess upon the other. He's committed some oppression against the other. So now one of us has now done some wrong to the other. So now, fahkum bainana bilhaq. So now you decide between us with the truth, with justice. Wala tushtit, and don't cross the limits. And wahdina ila sawa'is sirat, and guide us to the straight path. Now they're talking to a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. To start off with, they came in this manner, jumped the wall and came. They came without having any permission to come in. And at a time when they were not supposed to have even come, because this was the time reserved for Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam's ibadat, whereas he had given ample time for all the rest of the work that had to be done and attend to the people's affairs. And now they came and jumped in this way, and then on top of that talking in this very insolent manner, in this abrupt way, addressing a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala and sort of teaching him that you must deal with justice, so to say. فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تُشْتِتْ, and don't cross the limits. Talking to a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala in this manner, this was totally out of line. This was not in keeping with respect in any way. So now so many things are happening which are not in order. Coming at this time, coming in this manner, talking in this way. So in any case, Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam listened What is the problem? So the one person started speaking and saying that Inna hada akhi, this is my brother. Lahu tis'atu tis'u wa tis'una na'ja. He has 99 ewes. Sheep, one gender of it, the ewes, 99, he has 99 animals. Waliya na'jatu wahida. And I have one. He's got 99 of his own. I have only one of mine. Now he is saying to me, فَقَالَ أَكْفِلْنِيهَا وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. That you give me that one. He's got 99, I got one. And he is now pressurizing me to give him that one. And وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. And he has dominated me in the discussion as well. Sometimes a person has that manner of talking in a way that he silences everybody. And now every time the discussion starts, and every time we try to sort the matter out, try to talk about it, try to discuss it, he has a way in which he will just dominate the discussion. And he will just quieten everyone down. Nobody has a chance to say anything. So now every time I try to discuss the matter, he has dominated me. So now the question is that he has 99, he's pressurizing me to give him the one. Whether it was to give him the one, give it to him for free, whether it was to sell it to him, but you can't pressurize somebody to sell something. You cannot force somebody to sell an item of his, and here apparently he was asking for it for nothing. So now the question is he correct in asking and demanding this in this manner, pressurizing me that I must give it to him? And am I obliged to do so? This is the case. This is what the issue is. And this is now, please, tell us now who's right and who's wrong. So Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam heard this. So he then responded to him and said, قَالَ لَقَدْ ظَلَمَكَ بِسُعَالِ نَعْجَتِكَ إِلَىٰ نِعَاجِ. That he has caused oppression upon you by asking you to give over your animal and add it to his flock. That you have one, he has 99, but he cannot pressure you to now give him that one. So that's zulm. And thereafter, he gave a line of some general advice. This was the first aspect that Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. And then he gave a line of some general advice. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. That many partners, خُلَطَاء, those who are jointly engaged in any business, transaction, any matter they are jointly involved in, so whether it is partners as partnerships take place, whether it is an employer, an employee kind of relationship, or whatever these kind of relationships are, but primarily what is being referred to here is when people are in a kind of partnership of some sort. So many such partnerships, people who are in partnership, لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ, that some commit excesses on the other. Some, they do things which are not in order, and somehow they end up trampling the rights of the other. Except إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except those who have iman and they do righteous actions, meaning people of taqwa. The muttaqeen are people who have iman and their lives are on a'mal saliha. A'mal saliha is not confined to only doing right. Part of and very essential part of amal salih is to refrain from the wrong also. So this is a comprehensive aspect that they have taqwa in their lives. So people of taqwa will not then exceed the bounds. Now this was a general advice that Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam gave. And this is a lesson that the Quran Sharif is giving us. That any kind of mutual work or any kind of partnership or any such situation where people have to jointly be involved in something, whether it is an employer, employee, whether it is, for example, some shirkat, it is a mudarabat, one third party has put in the capital, the other is going to be doing the work, whether it is any other such type of situation where people have to jointly fulfill some task, then that is the time when one has to be checking that who I want to get into this partnership with, is there taqwa in the person. Now, nobody knows the heart of anybody, but on the outward side of things, we can try and understand to some extent that this person has the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Without that, if the person has a carefree life, he's apparently also not keeping up with the commands of Allah Ta'ala. He's not somebody that's conscious about his salah, or he's involved in others, some kind of sins openly. Then where is it going to be expected that he's going to be able to uphold the commands of Allah Ta'ala in this regard as well? When in other matters he is blatantly disobeying Allah Ta'ala, then in this regard, where is he going to uphold Allah's command? So, any situation of this nature, it will run smoothly, provided this taqwa. Provided this taqwa, it will carry on smoothly. Why? To start off with, taqwa will, it will make the person and every party fulfill his obligations in the matter. It will make him fulfill his responsibilities. That's the dictates of taqwa now, that there's an amanat on me, there's a trust on me, and the trust has to be fulfilled. So if there's taqwa, then he will not shirk in fulfilling his responsibility, his duty, his amanat. Number two, the taqwa will make sure that he does not then cross the limits and commit any oppression on the other party. So number one, he'll fulfill his duties. Number two, he will not oppress anybody else. He will not do anything that will take somebody else's right. So when there's taqwa, then this will take care of all the situations, because both these things take care of everything then. The one part is his own. He will take care of his responsibilities, his duties. He will not shirk in that. And the other part is that he will not oppress the other side. Opposite party or nobody else will be oppressed in any way. So therefore Allah Ta'ala is saying, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And it is only on taqwa that any relationship will endure. Let alone here in dunya, even in the akhirat. الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. That those who seem to be friends in dunya also, all that will fizzle out in the akhirat. But only those friendships will endure, even in the akhirat, of the muttaqeen. Those whose relationship was on taqwa. So now, does it mean that if there is taqwa, there can never ever be a dispute? That there can never ever be a dispute if there's taqwa? That's not the case. Because disputes don't only happen because somebody has deliberately done something wrong. Somebody has been intent on harming the other. Disputes stem out of misunderstanding sometimes. Sometimes some party just forgot exact. Oh, this is where, when there's a transaction, there's sometimes very detailed aspects that went into a transaction, into some partnership, into some deal of some sort. But the big mistake that people make sometimes is sometimes these kind of complicated transactions too, where there's so many different details to it, but everything is not recorded clearly. Some things are probably there, sometimes nothing is there, it's all just verbal. Now that verbal transaction continued for a while. Now when there was some thing came up, so everybody is now referring to what was the original agreement. So where's the original agreement? Each one got it in his own mind. And what each one remembers, sometimes what somebody says and what somebody hears also is two different things. There's one saying in Arabic that قُلْتُ عَمْرًا فَسَمِعَ سَعْدًا وَحَفِظَ بَكْرًا وَكَتَبَ زَيْدًا. So I said, I'm talking to the person and I said Sa'ad, or I said Amr, he heard Sa'ad. But then after a while he remembered Bakr. Then when he wrote it down, he wrote Zayd. So what it started off from, what he understood and what he ended up writing, sometimes is worlds apart. So therefore it's very important that anything of this nature, which is going to be a long term thing, or even short term but is now a credit, some kind of thing that needs to be referred to later, it's done in writing. And everybody has understood it, agreed upon it, signed it. Because mistakes can happen, misunderstandings can take place. That's when this becomes very easy to resolve the matter. Because it's all clear cut, it's in black and white. And whoever now misunderstood it, they forgot something, they didn't remember, but now there's it there, your signature is on this, so now he remembers, yes, okay, this is how it was. So it becomes very simple and very easy to resolve the matter. So the point is that disputes don't only occur out of somebody's ill intent, somebody's deliberate wrongdoing, not necessary. Sometimes it is out of misunderstanding. But now if there's taqwa between the parties, everybody is on the path of taqwa, then the taqwa will guide them to resolve that issue in light of shariat. And nobody will try to demand something that is not in accordance to shariat. So now what will be the case? So now how does sharia require that this kind of matter be resolved then? So either now one person is making a claim and the other is rejecting the claim, that no, this claim is not in order. So what is the procedure now? So the procedure is, well, the qazi will be approached, and the qazi will first ask the person making the claim, that, well, you are making the claim, so the burden of providing the evidence is upon you. But he says, but I have no witnesses to the matter. There were no witnesses present there. So very well, so then the person who's now denying the claim, it will be now turned to him, that can you take a qasam and an oath in the name of Allah Ta'ala that this claim is not valid? If he takes the qasam, and that's where the matter finishes off. If he refuses to take the qasam, then he'll become responsible. So now that's the shari procedure, because either there were witnesses or the parties didn't put it in writing. So the point is that there's a shari procedure. Now if the person still feels in his heart, but I'm sure it was like this, but you didn't have your witnesses, so what do? So that's your responsibility now. If you didn't have witnesses, you got to bear the responsibility for it. So the point is, but then eventually there's a shari procedure, taqwa will now drive both people to accept that. That, well, this is the command of shariat, and we have to submit to it. So if there's taqwa, then the yardstick will always be deen. If there's taqwa, then whatever the situation can come up, anything can happen, but it'll always be settled, understood and settled by the yardstick of deen. And both parties will be concerned that I mustn't do anything that will earn the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. So both parties, when they are concerned about this, so there cannot be an extended dispute. It will not be that they cannot resolve the problem, because finally it will come to this conclusion. So this matter now, they presented it to Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, that now this person has got 99, I got one, and he is demanding that I should give him this one. So what should be done? What is the position? So Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam started off by telling him, لَقَدْ ظَلَمَكَ بِسُؤَالِ نَعْجَتِكَ إِلَىٰ نِعَاجِهِ. Then he gave this general advice and he said, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except those who have iman and amal saliha, meaning they are on taqwa, and then further says, وَقَلِيلٌ مَّاهُمْ, but they are few, they are the minority. They are the minority who really deal in that manner, who really affirm on taqwa. And if they cannot prove their claim, they'll accept it. Well, I couldn't prove it, that's it. If they have to take a qasam, but they're feeling doubtful about taking the qasam, they'll accept, well, I have to take the responsibility of the matter. Whatever else has to be done will be done in the light of taqwa. Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَلِيلٌ مَّاهُمْ. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, وَظَنَّ دَاوُدُ أَنَّمَا فَتَنَّاهُ فَاسْتَغْفَرَ رَبَّهُ وَخَرَّ رَاكِعُ وَأَنَابُ. Dawud salatu wasalam, it occurred to him that we have tested him. And therefore he immediately sought the forgiveness of his Rabb, and he fell in prostration to Allah Ta'ala. Now, what was the test here? That Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam then turned to Allah ta'ala in istighfar, and he turned and he fell in prostration. What was the test? So one is the aspect that was mentioned right at the beginning, that he had mentioned to Allah ta'ala, Ya Allah, in the house of Dawood there is no time and no moment that that home is devoid of or doesn't have anybody engaged in your remembrance, actively engaged in ibadat. 24 hours, somebody or the other is actively engaged in ibadat. Now this was the time when Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, this was his time for ibadat. And therefore all these arrangements were in place, nobody must come in now. And now out of the blue these people came, and he got busy with resolving this matter. That period of time got, though this too was, now dealing with people's matter was a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala helping to resolve this, that was a kind of ibadat as well. But the ibadat that is exclusive in the form of some salah, dhikr, tasbihat, in that direct communication with Allah Ta'ala, that duration of time went in this home without that. And now the statement came back to mind, that once upon a time I made this claim, statement, though this wasn't in a manner of self-admiration, but coming from a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, it was not the ideal thing to have said it in that manner. It should have been said differently maybe. So suddenly this realization came, that what I said, and there's the reality, that this moment of time, these few, this little duration, went without somebody actively engaged in ibadat. As a result, he immediately went into sajda, and he began begging Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. The message in this is, that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, despite being on such a high level, and being ma'asum and sinless, but if something just slightly below the ideal ever happened, and this is what is termed as Hasanatul Abrar Sayyiatul Muqarrabin, that the good deeds of the average pious person, certain things which are regarded as a very good thing for him, mashallah, he'll be praised for it, the average pious person. But for the person of a very high caliber, that some of these things which is fine and in fact praiseworthy for the average pious person, it becomes a fault for the person of a very high position. On his standard, that should not have been in that manner. That was below his standard. Though in itself was nothing wrong. In itself was nothing wrong at all. But judging from that very high standard, it was below the standard. So those are the things that they made istighfar on. That it just came somewhere little below the standard of that very lofty position. In itself there was nothing wrong with it. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, despite being the chosen servants of Allah Ta'ala and ma'asum and sinless, they still also went into istighfar and begging Allah's forgiveness. So we sinful servants of Allah Ta'ala, how much we should be conscious about it, that we all the time are slipping up into something or the other which is not even right, let alone something that is just inappropriate, not even in order, words that slip out of our mouth, what we do, what we look at, and yet we, sometimes the whole day has passed, hardly any istighfar, hardly asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. So that is one very great lesson in this. Then there's another explanation and detail to it. Inshallah, Allah give tawfiq, we'll carry on tomorrow. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك